I'm yawning. Don't start the recording yet.
Hello, hello, and welcome. I'm Nick.
I'm Ryan.
Welcome to Leaku Studios Podcast, Freeware Game Review 66A. Still Team Fortress 2. So where do we leave off?
Fuck if I know.
It's okay, that's why... Where did I put those cards?
Last week we discussed the sort of drift of character roles.
The identity?
The death of the demo man.
Also that.
Speaking of your problem with hats and weapon selection not being enough for you to identify a character as an individual player, a thought experiment.
Okay.
Demo pan.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of thinking about that, but I still feel that's like when Jeff shows up acting like a douchebag, that's still Jeff. Jeff is just a douchebag now.
Why are you talking about Jeff? He's a nice guy.
Different Jeff.
Okay.
A theoretical Jeff, if you will. You know, it's like Jeff is not somebody to wear pop collars and stutter shades. When he starts to, he's still Jeff. You just don't want to hang out with Jeff too much anymore. It is almost like, you know, the multiple personality disorder. Except now we call that dissociative identity disorder.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing. So like the same person, even if maybe they act differently. And then again...
And have a frying pan and shades.
Frying pan is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's all right.
And shades are kind of weird.
I got some authority glasses for the Hovey.
Yeah.
I was idling last night. Woo! Video games.
While we're still on that, we got a bit of feedback. Somebody gave us some feedback.
No way.
Just a little bit. Just okay. Enough. Although, I guess they didn't listen to the first episode, it was mainly running on that. On Twitter, @Hidler says, did someone say... No. But seriously, TF2, in my opinion, has the least bullshit progression in a modern shooter. I don't believe that at...
Well, I wouldn't say it's really a... We're talking about... He was talking about,
I suppose,
getting new items, getting weapons and
just
stuff.
Just getting stuff.
It's really not a progression. It's just kind of like you get stuff every once in a while. Although, I mean, there's still the achievement progression thing. Except, you know, it's been so long since that happened. You know,
yeah. You can't really count that for what the game currently is.
Well, new players can count that. I saw a guy get the KGB.
Wait, you still have to get those achievements to get those weapons?
No, they can still drop. You just also get them through achievements.
That hurts my head a little.
Oh.
And that's where sort of like the the conflagration of bloat comes in.
The conflagration of bloat?
Yeah. So this sort of fed back into what we were talking about near the end last week.
What else does he have to say?
Well, hang on. Because then Xanius also chimed in saying, basically talking about it's not really progression because there is no top tier.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you really don't want a top tier because then people who play for a time have...
Then they get there, and then they just lord over everything.
Yeah, and then it's not fun for newer players. But the issue I take with that, like, you know, that is true, and having, you know, players who just win, who have better stuff than lower players is bad. It's bad for balance, it's bad for getting new players, and now that it's free, they're going to want to get new players.
Yeah.
But... I still take issue with the idea of it is random time-based drops. And this is where I actually tried to compare it to Call of Duty. Because in TF2, you play on a server, you spend time there. As you spend time, you get drops. In Call of Duty, you get money as you play games, but it's always rewarded for actual actions, not just time spent.
Mm-hmm.
So the better you do, the more cooler stuff you do, getting, you know... they have like the contract things that'll get your bonuses. You do stuff like that and you get more money, so you get things faster. It is actually a reward for playing well, not a reward for playing at all.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, again, you could go back to, well, if it's just being different. See, my argument is constantly like, if it is just different play styles, why isn't everything unlocked in the first place?
Yeah.
Like, in Jamestown, that new top-down shooter. Yeah. There's only one ship unlocked at the beginning, when really there's four ships, and each ship have a different... That's kind of... I think that's super bullshit.
So, like, you have to go through the game to unlock homing shot?
Yeah.
Like, that... Oh.
Like, isn't that kind of bullshit?
Yes.
It's just saying, like, oh, it's a different playstyle, let's lock it away. When you put it in the term of a shooter, it really makes no sense. And then, for me at least, it's not a big jump to make the same thing. Well, then why does it make sense in a first-person shooter?
Yeah.
But then again, also, you go even further backwards, and it used to be there was no picking, you had to get power-ups during the game, but that goes into another conversation. But still, there's an example, I think, more towards my point of something more like Action Quake. Everything is just, all your playstyles are unlocked, you pick it, and then you go, and...
Go grab it.
Skill happens later. Or even, you know, if better versions increase with use, and, like, unlock over time with use, the way, again, that Call of Duty perks work. You use a perk for long enough, eventually you get an advanced version of it.
Mm.
But then again, Call of Duty also sort of breaks that. And then, when I mentioned Call of Duty, they said that... Hidler actually says that he thinks that TF2, the way that the weapons are laid out, and I guess this is, you know, once you have enough weapons to have a selection, that the balance in that game is better than the way they balance Call of Duty, which he says is by prestiging.
Mm-hmm.
Which, prestiging, I actually kind of like as a balancing mechanism, because now everybody who has all of the guns, who has all the advanced stuff, they lose it and start over.
Well, they can choose to.
They can choose to, yeah. But if you put in enough time to do that, you probably like playing the game enough that you want to play more, and you'll do it just to play more. But you keep the skill that you as a player have gained, and that is all you take into it. But now, you know, you are playing with the same loadouts that new players are taking into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so at a base level, that is balancing. But then there's also just the question, like, even ignoring that, I don't think there's much of a difference between TF2 and Call of Duty. In the sense that it's all about give and take, you know, which weapon fires faster, which has different ranges, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about, you know, finding a weapon for a particular situation. Or for a particular playstyle. Like, you know, you, me, and Jesse, if we're looking at Call of Duty... I'll say RPD, you say FAMAS, he says FAL. And really, we all say, like, that's the best weapon, but maybe it's just the best weapon for us. And that, as much as I don't like Call of Duty, I feel that's, you know, they have a decent weapon balance. Because there are weapons that feel different. Call of Duty is pushing it a little, but I would not say that there are really too many weapons. They all still feel unique enough. And also, depending on what, like, you know, underslung, what kind of iron sights you got on it, that sort of stuff also affects it. I don't feel that in Call of Duty. I feel it's just, or I don't feel that in Team Fortress 2. I feel there's just too much. Maybe you have the give and take, you can affect your playstyles, but in the end, there is too much that, you know, why it almost doesn't matter. Plus, then they go into the idea of, you know, giving the demo man a sword instead of what he is known for being grenades.
Yeah.
Like, there's a certain point at which, like, well, now you're just changing kind of core things. But again, this is all stuff that we covered. But, I don't know, comparisons to Call of Duty, you think that's looking at the way that other shooters handle the same essential thing?
Well, I'm just trying to think of other games where you unlock, you know, basically tools available to you over playtime. Like TF2, obviously, Call of Duty does it. Can you think of any other examples?
But,
I mean, I guess, like, Alien Swarm and stuff. I don't know, it's just not that important, but, like...
The thing that I always go back to is I just think of, well, how do they handle this in MMOs, where it's all about getting your top-tier shit? And usually the way that works is, well, either you don't make it competitive,
mm-hmm.
or you break it up. Like, I'm almost thinking about Forza. Because in Forza, there's that progression, like, you know, E class, F class, the cars go up, but then that's all they do. They break it up into classes. So once you start having A class cars, you race other A class people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not that bad, I think, especially if you have enough people playing,
mm-hmm.
or depending on what your actual gameplay is. Because if in Halo, there is that matchmaking option to say only pick people my skill level.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't turn that on, I don't have a fun time. If I turn it on, matches are actually pretty fun. So there's really nothing wrong with it. It's just, you know, let people match up on an even tier, or don't let them fight, or even something like, you know, Neo Tokyo, where you make it inclusive, so stuff doesn't carry over. Everybody starts from an even playing field, and then you build up from there.
I don't even know if I'd call, like, you know, unlocking new weapons and everything in TF2 a progression, because it's
really not.
Aside from the initial achievement things, which for most players now don't matter, and for new players are not, like, the total scope of what they have available. Like, yeah, you got a new loadout for the class. There's, like, 2 or 3 more.
Mm.
You'll get them eventually.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even call it a progression. Like,
I mean, it's just... And
honestly, I don't know, like, if I could go into TF2 now and just, like, start from zero and be like, all right, gonna get some stuff, maybe, eventually.
Really just wait around for it.
Yeah.
But then Exanius also brings up the point of, you know, rather get something than get nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I'm kind of, I like getting stuff. I mean, again, I've played Tenchu Z to get the clothes. Like, yeah. There are abilities and stuff. I've bought all the clothes. But that sort of thing. Like, I like getting stuff, but even in... We were playing You Don't Know Jack. They have the wrong answer of the game, and mm-hmm. it gives you a little boost in-game, but then it lets you keep those little items afterwards that fill up. So the things that you get don't have to affect the game at all.
Yeah, they don't do anything. They're just attached to your profile. Like, yeah, hey, you got this barrel.
I mean, if you like shinies, that's fine to like shinies, but, you know, you don't... There are ways to apply that idea without mucking about in your gameplay for balance.
Well, I mean, when you're saying, like, are you talking about hats in that regard then? To, like, things that...
If it was just hats, I would take less issue with it.
Yeah. Yeah. But even then, like, you know, then no one would get any drops ever, because hats are so rare.
But then why not just kick the hats up, because the hats are...
Because then everyone would have hats, and then hats would have no value.
Okay. Well, that's why you have, like, Royal Crown hats, and Red Stripe hats, and Corona hats, and...
Wait, what?
Those are beer brands.
Okay, what?
Royal Crown is soda. You want to wear...
thinking of Crown Royal?
No, RC. Royal Crown.
Okay. Crown Royal is some kind of very expensive liquor of some sort. Comes in, like, a purple pouch.
Oh, my. But even then, there's ways to do it. Like, you can build rarity into certain things and mm-hmm. make people want them. And that's... It's... I feel like they're abusing the slot machine... What did you call it? Like
the reward schedule.
Yeah, inconsistent reward schedule. It's just like... It's like, keep playing. If we don't know that it's going to be consistent and we just have to keep waiting and hoping, mm-hmm. we're more likely to do it. That's the way people are built.
Yeah.
And that's abusing that. It's not a meritocracy. And it's... Not even it's not even an ocracy. We are all the peons. We are being oppressed by Team Fortress.
This is not a democracy, Nick. This is a cheerocracy.
Woo!
What? What?
That just like
okay.
Yeah, the way that they're doing it is not the best, unless you look at it in a sense of getting people to come and play it.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about that. I believe it was the Giant Bomb guys
mm-hmm.
also brought up a good point. Team Fortress is pretty old now. It's been out for a while.
Yeah.
But what they brought up is that there's probably a lot of people who played during a free weekend mm-hmm. and said, well, I see what this game is about. It's not bad, but it's not good enough that I would be willing to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they don't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
But all of the hatch stuff, the weapon stuff, is still in there.
Yeah.
So... It's probably actually a pretty great idea because now all the people who've already made up their minds and their decision was I will not pay to play this are not paying to play it. But then once they're it, they get caught up with the whole microtransaction.
Yeah, they might show up and be like, oh, well, I didn't want to pay for this game, but I'll pay for a key.
Yeah. And that's... So, really, it's... isn't that what a honey trap is?
No, it's just good marketing.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes marketing is just trapping, yeah. But... Yeah, so they brought up that point, and I thought that's probably makes most sense behind this decision.
Yeah.
Everyone has made their decision. There is a large market who probably said, I would play if I didn't have to pay for it. Now they're bringing them in, and maybe they'll still end up paying for something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're still getting crates, you know?
Yeah.
Like I said, I was idling last night. I got 2 limited edition summer sale only crates. Really? I got to pay for those keys soon if I want to open them.
Really?
Yeah.
God damn. Damn. But yeah, so that's what they're doing. That makes it make sense. So I got 2 cards left.
What do you got?
Classes, in the sense that it limits your actions rather than personality-wise. Okay. And the community. And maybe we should leave the community for the end, because community is usually all the way right on navigation bars.
Okay.
Okay.
Our official fan-run forums.
And what about a fan-run wiki?
There is, there's the official TF2 wiki, and then there's a fan-run one, and... The fan-run one is super annoying for some reason. I can never remember why until I go to it.
Is it like because if that's where all the fans
Google,
are?
If I just like Google TF2 wiki, like that's the first one that comes up, and I click on it, and I'm just like, no, I meant the other one. Mm. And I'm not sure why unless I'm looking at it. That's a note.
Yeah. we'll check into that. Let's talk a little bit about this action thing
first. Yeah, this was... This was a point that you had brought up that you feel like the... You explained this.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is another mechanical issue, because I am a ludologist at heart, I guess.
A woodologist?
A ludologist.
A ludologist.
One who approaches games from the idea of mechanics and gameplay.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to a narratologist who approaches it from telling a story and building worlds. So here's how I look at it. And, you know, this goes back to things about... This basically goes back to my comparison between... Team Fortress, and really other class-based games,
mm-hmm.
and Unreal Tournament.
Okay.
And Call of Duty also comes back in here, too. It's a matter of adaptability. In a game like Unreal Tournament, everybody starts, you know, each individual life. Each individual, like, I am alive, now I can begin to build a streak, I can kill people, I can collect stuff.
You spawn, everyone spawns with the same tools.
Right.
With everybody the same health, the same rate of movement, everything.
Right. And... picking up weapons, picking up power-ups is all on the field. And this is sort of, you know, I refer to this as like the wilderness survival aspect. It's about being able to navigate your environment, know where things are, know about the patterns, the best paths to get between things.
Mm, spawn timings.
Yeah. It's a lot about that. But it sort of comes back to adaptability. Even something like Halo, where you can only carry 2 weapons, but...
But you can carry any 2.
And you can swap between them.
Yeah.
If you can get to the weapon you want, you can pick it up. And in Unreal Tournament, you just carry all the weapons with you, and it's about, well, did I get to this weapon yet, and am I aware of which weapon to best use in a situation? Because
mm-hmm.
That's the other way to look at weapon balance. It's either just like, well, here's a whole bunch of weapons that are basically the same, but with little give and take on them. Or you say, we have 1 of each weapon kind, but the difference...
Each one of those is good at one thing.
Yeah, there's 1 specific situation where this would be good. Which is, like, again, even like Unreal Tournament, there's the shock rifle, which is sort of like a medium to long range, but then there's a sniper rifle, which is more powerful, even longer range, because mm-hmm. the shock rifle has no zoom on it. So, you know, although they behave similarly, they can have, you know...
They're very different.
Different uses, yeah. And so it's this matter of... As long as you can get to it, you can... You can use it, you can adapt to your situation while you are still alive. I find that in Team Fortress, most apparently to me, and other class-based games, there is this idea that you need to play, like, the weapon, your loadout, is something that you bring in when you spawn. There is no room for adaptability. The only way to adapt is rather than being able to adjust and get the right weapon, the right position for your situation, it is to... avoid the situations you are bad at,
mm-hmm.
and to figure out how to only be in the situations that you are good at. And the problem I have with this is that there's no adaptability. It's, you become a cog in a machine. You don't really have to make a decision, make judgment calls. It's,
you
either
just have to fulfill your role to the best of your ability.
Learn where you should be there. If that's not where you are, run away. And the only way, if you wanted to adapt, like you see, like, oh, our team needs more soldiers, and you're currently, you know, a heavy or something, well, the only way to change that is to die and change before you spawn, or run all the way back to where you spawned, in essence, removing yourself from the game, so you may as well have died. It probably would have taken less time than running back.
Mm-hmm.
And that just seems like a very poor gameplay design to say, like, if you ever, like, dying in order to change and adapt, you are ending your life, you are ending your spree, you're ending any multiplier bonuses, you're ending a lot of the things
multiplier bonuses?
CF2 doesn't, like, have those, but there is sort of this idea that as you stay alive, they do have the dominating sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like, you kill the same person over, but it's like, death becomes a part of play, but death is still something that gets punished. Team killing is punished. Death is something punishable. Why are you making me do it? It's a trap again, in a sense. But it's not like a malicious trap, but it is like here's something that you should try to avoid. Okay, now you need to do it.
You sound like people who initially railed against bullet hell shooters, because in, like, in older traditional top-down shooters, the idea was you always want to be as far away from getting hit as possible. Those are bullets, you just stay the fuck away from them and you avoid them. And then styles of shooters came around that rewarded you for getting really, really close to bullets and just pushing the margins, and people were like, this isn't what shooters are about, you're getting close to bullets! You kind of sound like that.
Really?
Hmm? I don't know, I was just reminded of that. But like, personally, I kind of see your argument, because there have been times when I've, like, been playing and I'm just like, I don't want to play any of the classes. I want to
be able to have part of each
class. I don't want to play any of these roles right now. I guess I'm done playing TF2 for today.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. Like, and, like, I think everybody who plays has, like, the one or two characters who they play, like, exponentially more than any of the other characters.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are characters who already, you know, fit to their playstyle.
Yeah.
And that's what, that's part of the thing about it, is that when you pick a character class in TF2, you are picking a loadout. And then mm-hmm. all the weapon and stuff is actually just a subset of that. Yes. That's your give and take. But really, you're basically picking, what gun do I want to pick today?
Yeah, and they're, you know, and some of them are more dramatic changes. Like, you know, you can give the pyro a fairly long-range weapon in the form of the flare gun. But, you know, you never replace the flamethrower with, you know, a napalm grenade launcher or something.
Yeah, because they need to keep that sort of class distinction.
Mm-hmm.
And if people played to sort of, like, you know, play their roles and be a true team, mm-hmm. where, you know, the games would probably run a lot better, because that's basically what they're designed around. But I don't really know people who want to play that way, and I don't want to play that way. Or I don't know people who do play that way, and I don't want to play that way. Like, unless it's very something very specific, like, you know, a medic that follows a heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people like playing medics.
Yeah.
But this is why I like something like Call of Duty. Because the way Call of Duty does it is you make your own classes.
Yeah.
So what you bring into battle is still limited. Like, it's like, well, you only have the 5 weapons you can bring. But you pick them and you customize your own classes. So that way the playstyle is entirely up to you. And although you still have to decide, like, well, what situations am I going in expecting? But
they have a greater control over the whole process.
Yeah, like you can say, like, well, I know, like, you know, with anything I can handle these types of situations, so I won't focus on dealing with those. So if you want to go in with, you know, a sniper rifle and a machine gun, you can do that and just never have any shotguns or something like that. Like you, especially with the perks and mm-hmm. like the kind of grenades and claymores and stuff like that. Especially that, I feel very much like you are still, it's still sort of limiting your actions. But it is up to the player to understand where his own faults and failures are and where he will need to support himself on that. And really nothing is keeping you from also playing that with, like, a more strict class play role. Like, here's a guy, he brings, you know, grenade launcher and rocket launcher, so that way if vehicles show up, he can deal with those.
Mm-hmm.
But also then, you know, he can have his other class where he's another frontline guy, but a frontline guy that he understands how to play, and that's when there's no vehicles around.
Mm-hmm. No, I see what you're saying there. Because, you know, while you are, you know, limiting, you are being limited to a certain role, you know, it's one that you've decided and built for yourself rather than, like, you know, these are the nine that are in the game. Have fun.
I mean, because, like, you could kind of say that. It's like, if you were playing something like Unreal, you would say, like, well, what is my favorite weapon? What are my two favorite weapons? Those are the ones I will take with me.
The flat cannon and
the shock rifle? I think I would... No, I'd probably go shock rifle and rocket launcher.
Yeah.
I don't know why I think a rocket launcher is a short-range weapon, but...
honestly, I was thinking rocket launcher, flat cannon, so...
All right! But yeah, that's sort of the way... To the idea of... Like, going back to this shooter thing for a minute...
Mm-hmm.
I can kind of understand if you look at it like, well, even though they appear the same, they control the same, because the focus... Like, when you change the focus of something, I usually think that's enough to say it is a unique game.
Yeah.
That the comparisons are worth making to say why it's different, but not to say this is what it should strive to. Mm. I think you can see that a lot with movies, because there's still that theory that there were like only ever seven stories. It's just what does the telling of those stories focus on. But especially in something like shooters, like I like the getting closer to bullets, because mm-hmm. I like playing balls to the wall. That's kind of like why I like playing Burnout games.
Mm-hmm.
Act stupid, get the ability to act stupider,
yeah,
more hardcorely.
That was a fantastic,
oh,
just perfectly Cromulan.
Cromulan?
Don't worry about it.
They're the ones with the big ears on Star Trek, right?
Something something embiggens the heart.
Okay. A strong will?
Something, I don't know.
And to that logic, maybe I just don't like Team Fortress 2 class-based games because the focus is on playing your role and not adaptability.
Mm-hmm.
But that then just confuses me because I don't think anybody really goes in to say, like, I will be this cog. Like, maybe they do. Maybe there's... Maybe it's just not the American mindset. Because something like Japanese games, maybe I could see that happening. Or even like...
I think you are putting way too much into this.
Maybe. And that's the thing. I think the point is I don't understand the mindset. Exactly. That would really prefer a class base over the more traditional games. And I think that might tie into social cues.
Okay.
Okay.
Legit.
Yeah. So how about that community? It's been long enough. We should talk a bit about that.
Oh, gosh.
Because when I've seen it, I see that there are a lot of servers that are more about talking to friends and mic spamming than they are about playing Team Fortress 2.
Well, that may have just been just observing the sort of places where I hung out.
Also where my roommates hung out and...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, who were they with?
I don't know. I didn't. Oh, okay. I don't play that game.
Oh, okay.
I didn't care. That's what I heard.
Man, I don't even know. Like, I have been, like, on again, off again so long with, like, TF2... And, again, I wouldn't say that, like, I was ever interacting with the
overall community.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where, it's like, there's a certain, like, critical mass point that when a community gets so large, it breaks into sub-communities.
Yeah.
So...
It hit that long time ago.
I know. So I don't think you can communicate with the community at large. If they try that, they would probably fight a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, that being said, that's sort of the issue of it. Like, if you want to, like, play it casually, if you want to, like, have it running while you're talking and playing music over your mic spam or doing whatever, you can do that. I hear that like the actual like for serious play TF2 type gameplay is actually one of the smaller subsets. Like people who actually are like this is class based, I will play this role, we will win as a team.
Yeah, like competitive TF2 is very small because most people realize that, you know, TF2 has a very low skill ceiling. It's not that interesting as a competitive game because it moves quite slowly.
In just, like achieving objectives and stuff?
Yeah, like, this is something I was thinking of. Like, the pacing of TF2, I'm not actually, like, too keen on. Because, like large firefights take a really long time to resolve.
Yeah.
In game time, you know? Like, I was thinking of, you know, part of the reason I like Neo Tokyo is because, like, there's a lot of positioning and a lot of, like, slowly moving around the map. And then once there's actually a conflict, it's resolved within 2-3 seconds.
Yeah.
You know?
Even like, if that resolution is somebody running away in a cloud of smoke.
But, like, just the way that, like, you know, there's a handful of hit scan weapons in the game. Like, mm-hmm. you know, there one of them is accurate. You know, it's like, yeah, we've got a handful of hit scan weapons. Most of them are just secondary ones. You know, you have better options usually for your role. One of them is like really powerful, but you gotta stand still.
Yeah.
And you know, one of them is pretty powerful, but it's crazy inaccurate and it makes you move super slow.
Yeah. It's almost
the projectiles in that game move really slow.
Like, it's kind of more about like the visual and the flying bullets and explosions and mm-hmm. people hopping around and all the particle clouds.
The particle effects on the hitscan weapons is still really weird to me.
Yeah.
Because, like, most of the time they, like, don't line up. Like, I don't know, it's just, it's a little thing. It's not actually consequential. But, you know, like, when you fire a shotgun, like, you know, there's the hitscan thing that happens, and then a bunch of little particles fly out, and it's like...
Yeah.
It's weird.
But...
I don't know, that's neither here nor there.
No, I mean, they're kind of built into it, because it's, you know, like, for being something which is essentially designed to be extremely, like, team-based, which... would say that, well, if you care about the team, it's because you care about the game, like, except that maybe...
No, it's not super... I don't see it as designed to be super competitive at all.
It's not competitive, but it does foster a sort of a sense of camaraderie.
Yeah.
Kind of like Lost Planet 2, I guess. But in a much different way, because it's not you guys versus the giant thing, it's two groups sort of going at it. It's kind of like...
You guys versus those other guys.
It's kind of like a big dodgeball fight, or, you know. So I guess that's, you know, it's really not a bad thing. But it's still confusing when then you look at Nope.avi and everything from there. Like is people who are part of the community who go into that. There's a lot of Team Fortress 2 fan art,
mm-hmm.
and but you know how much of that is liking the game, how much is liking the aesthetic and character design of the game, and how much of that is liking the
secondary
game.
Fans of the weird fan generated content.
Yeah, like that. Like how often does that happen that you have people who are creating fan pieces for something that they have not interacted with? If that's what's happening, that annoys me.
I used to interact with people who cared about that regarding Toho stuff, and then I was just like, whatever, guys.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't know, if I see someone who has, like, a really good heavy cosplay, and they've got, you know, a really nice-looking minigun, I don't know, I don't care if they actually play the game. They made a really cool thing.
That's true. It's more whenever you get... like fantards, I guess.
People who are super annoying about it.
People who just like it, but they never really have reasons for liking it.
Mm-hmm.
So you wonder if they're liking it because they've got nothing better to do than to like something, and that's just what it happened to be.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the complaint with a lot of anime fans.
Yeah.
And a lot of what I see is there are a lot of people who do Team Fortress, like fan art, fan comics on DeviantArt.
Mm-hmm.
And I know at least one of them actually does play the game, and usually he'll draw, like, you know, like, things that happen to him in the game. But then, of course, he puts on top of that all the, like, the troll faces and the internet memes over the faces of the characters.
Yeah.
And, like, so there's definitely some sort of tie in there that I think a lot of people who like TF2 also like... memes plus abusiveness? I'm just not sure exactly how that ties in. Like, either they're abusing memes, or they like memes that are abused, or... they will abuse people with memes. It's one of those combinations. I'm not sure which.
On a similar note, you just reminded me that the other night, I think I ran into the guy who draws the webcomic Jack of Blades.
Really?
Playing TF2? At some point, I was healed by a medic who named his metagun, check out my comic at jackofblades.com. So...
oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's getting your name out there, kinda.
It was actually kind of weird. I was just like, what is... huh. I've actually seen that comic before.
It's you.
Didn't really like it too much, but...
oh.
Hi.
Yeah, he's trying. As somebody...
more power to you. That's an interesting way to get your name out.
As somebody with no readers, I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I'm not somebody who interacts with community. From what I've seen of it, I don't like it, but that's because it's people who are having a good time, but not necessarily... because of the game. The game is just merely a medium mm-hmm. under which they can come together. So in that case, the game is good for them. But, you know.
I don't know. I've met a lot of people whose company I enjoy through the game. I mean.
But definitely there is, like, you know.
And just a lot of just horrible, disgusting people.
Yeah. Like there's like a certain kind of person who will be playing this game. But then again, that certain kind of person has a number of subsets from cool to ass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm losing some of my words.
This is a complex, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Androgyny?
No, not etymology either.
Calcium anthropology.
Taxonomy?
Study of milkmen.
Shut up.
It's the only one I know.
That's not a thing.
It should be. Yeah, I mean.
Okay.
I don't know what
to say. TF2, guys.
Yeah,
TF2.
It goes back to that. Pretty much everyone has made a decision. If you're one of the ones who said, I would play this if it was free, well, now it's free, so you can go ahead and play it. As somebody who similarly said that, and then somebody bought it for me.
Yo, what's up?
And I had my fill, and I don't feel like getting back into it, but I'm not a class-based person. Like, there's a mindset for that, which a lot of people seem to have. Maybe you do, too.
I never really, like, considered it that way. Like, am I enjoying this game because it has classes? It was just like, okay, I'm enjoying this game.
Yeah. I'm somebody who will say that. Because if I play something and I meet people that I like to hang out with, I will convince them to play the games that I like to play, usually.
Yeah.
Unless you want to talk about two-point swings, which Team Fortress has.
I'm tired of you talking about two-point swings. I don't think it's a bad thing.
But it leads to... not sterility, but stale action is a storm of wind and noise, simulating nothing, wow, signifying
you're
nothing.
Terrible.
You tell me how Shakespeare works.
You know what? Let's talk about the 2-point swing. Nick right. seems to have this idea that if in a game, when I kill you, that's good because both you are dead and I'm still alive, that's a bad thing because that's two ways that I have the advantage.
What it means is, like, there's an extra swing of power. And the problem comes not with actual, like, points. Well, no, it does come with points, because it's you can also see it in, like...
as the idea of no one gains points, they just take them from each other.
Or gaining field, yeah. So, you know, let's say there's 3 points on a map. And, you know, the two bases at either end. Like, simple map, it's a straight line, whatever.
Okay.
So, we each get the first point. We clash in the middle. If the points are all that matter, the capture points or whatever, then we will keep fighting over that middle one unless one side is significantly better than the other, in which point they will push to the end.
Mm-hmm.
If it is a slider scale where one side wins when they get to the other side completely, or if they just have more capture when time runs out, that is an uninteresting scoring system. Because... interesting scoring systems, this idea of, you know, keeping you in a flow, keeping you building up tension, building a sense of tension, comes from things are progressing, but until the end it is unclear who will win. If you are on a line like that, then you see who is winning because you see who is getting pushed more. It is never unclear who is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting when you get down to, like, the last second, and, you know, if you both have pushed so far, but, you know, you're just going for who can get that last shot and who can get that last point, who can make the last 2-point dunk. You know, they say, like, you know, when you go to see a basketball game, all the price of the ticket is you're paying for the tenseness of the last 2 minutes. Because it is all about, you know, and, you know, sometimes that's why shorter games are good. Like, that's probably part of why Counter-Strike works, is because you can, you know, because everybody stays dead, it's, you know, like, everybody dies quick until you get, like, 3 people on this team and 2 people on this team. And at that point, you still don't know who will win. Even though there's definitely been progress, things have moved. Like, that's why something, I think, Counter-Strike in that sense is better than something like TF2. Because things progress, but it is still unclear who the winner is, and that builds a greater sense of tension, because you still have to fight all the way through. Whereas something like Team Fortress, like, oh, they have 5 of the capture points, we have 1 left. Unless something, you know, some godly hand comes down and makes us all intense, we're going to, you know, we're not going to
win.
Yeah, you know, we're not going to win. Nothing is going to change, and that's boring because it's, you know, when you're, like, you know, high ranked chess or Go masters, they'll get a few turns in, they'll say, "Oh, I see you're going to win." They end the fucking game. They don't keep playing till time runs out.
Yeah,
that's why I think that's bad. Now, there's ways to balance that, like, you know. As you get closer to the end of the line, you know, it's more heavily defended. It is harder to get those final few points. But in order, But then it just becomes stale there, and time runs out, because you see who's going to win. It's clear who's going to win, but we can't just get that finisher, because it just gets, you know, harder and harder to do that, as opposed to, you know, just clashing in the middle, because both sides are equally done. So you can't just boost it and make it harder at the end. This is not a good point, because you still made it all the way there. You still can't get better and push it all the way back to the other end. That's why it's better when it's one for one. I kill you, I get a point. You kill me, you get a point. Not I kill you, you lose a point, I gain a point. I move a little bit forward, you move a little bit backwards. That just means that we're going to slide back and forth, as opposed to, you know, a foot race. It's mm-hmm. a tug of war versus a foot race. A tug of war says, you know, we're going to pull, you're going to pull. So we're either going to be stuck completely in the middle until one of us gives up hope.
Or one of us is just going to be stronger from the start.
Yes. Whereas a foot race, you can go even up all the way, and if you're even all the way, things are moving forwards, but it is still unclear who is going to win, and that builds more tension. That is my argument.
Oh.
So that's why I don't like pushing, because pushing is just like, well, you got to push.
But you don't like pushing carts?
I like screaming, push little cart! I do like that.
Oh, so then the character is providing something valuable to the game, then.
I like the character more than I like the game. That's why I'll go on YouTube and watch the videos.
Yeah.
And I still won't play it.
No, I'm not as plenty zealous about it. But yeah, that is like kind of shitty when you're in a game that's just like, well, we got 5 minutes left. We're not going to win. This isn't StarCraft. I can't just say good game.
Yeah.
And that does happen. Like, that's why.
But I mean, that's what,
like,
I have.
A lot of servers I play on, like, we did not play 5 cap point games because it is just that scenario you laid out.
Yeah. But I mean, even with, like, you know, push the cart mode where it's attacking the defender, if the defenders are good enough and can just stop the attackers, the game doesn't end. The game goes until we see how very definitively the attackers are killing the defenders are killing the attackers. The attackers?
The attackers.
The attackers and
what
the
about
defenders.
Payload race? You got two carts.
See, now that's not bad, because you can see it and it goes back and forth. That's pretty good.
There's like two maps for payload race, and they're both shitty. And pipeline's not that bad.
And the problem, like, I don't know why, but that seems to be like a thing these days, is that sort of pushing concept, because it was in Monday Night. That's why the game you were playing before, Monday Night Combat, just didn't want to end. Because even if it kept kind of bouncing back and forth, but no progress was really being made.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time, like, at the enemy's gate, just hanging out.
Yeah.
And then you see it in the modern MOBA.
Yeah, like, that's kind of why I don't really play much League of Legends, because either I see that their team is better and we're going to die, and unless, like, somebody drops out, then you kind of see where the game is going to go. And that's boring. Like you can watch, you know, highlight reel.
Yeah, I guess, like, I can just look at games, like, how often am I just frustrated when I am playing this?
Yeah.
Playing TF2?
I am often frustrated.
Not, rarely. Less than, greater than
less
never.
Than all the time?
Greater than never. Less than all the time, but greater than never.
Somewhere in the middle. Okay. TF2, it's free. You probably made your decision, but that doesn't mean you can't try it again, because why not?
Yeah.
Put a link in the show notes again. You can check out our Twitter, @EliteKu. You can send us email feedback. Tell us we're wrong. Tell us we're right. Tell us what games we should be playing instead. podcast@EliteKuStudios.net. What are those other things that we do?
iTunes.
iTunes.
We're on iTunes. We're find on Facebook.
Find us on iTunes. Leave us a review. Give us a couple of stars at least. Couple. Also, like us on Facebook. All right. And so, next week we'll talk about something else.
Yay!
Maybe I went on for too long, but I like to think that my ideas are legit, even if I can't. I want to say eloquate.
Enumerate.
But that is not how you say stuff.
Eloquate. I like that.
I will say it fancifully.
Let's actualize our social networking presences.
Okay.
Okay.
How do we do that?
Tell people to play AQ2 with us.
Okay. Let's do that.
That's what that means.